Bam! Jason Waller here with Jason Waller Unleashed. That's right. We are coming live on TikTok and doing the podcast right here, coming out later on this week. Super excited. Thank you again to all the subscribers and listeners out there to make it a top 30 podcast. That's right. Top 30 podcast on society and culture. Previously a top 5 on entrepreneurship and business. I am super excited today to talk about the meaning of guilt. What does guilt do to you every single day, right? Do you feel guilty on your performance? Do you have regret on what you could have done in the future? Do you feel guilty on leaving opportunity on the table? And I'm not talking about guilt because you've done something wrong and you feel guilty. I'm talking about the self-guilt of letting yourself down, of being able to conquer the world, but you didn't give 110%. You have regret. You have guilt. You have all this animosity towards, hey, how come I didn't put more effort into this? What can I do? And you start to swirl and question yourself. You start to beat yourself up. You start to ask yourself questions. Hey, how come I'm not good enough? Why aren't I good enough? Why didn't I do this? How come I keep struggling? Why didn't I get this to the finish line? How come I didn't get the result I wanted? And you start to just beat yourself up. But guess what you do? You waste your time. You waste your energy looking backwards. You waste your energy paying attention to the rearview mirror rather than the fucking the front window of while you're driving. You have to be able to pay attention to what's in front of you. That's why the windshield's bigger than the rearview mirror. That's why you got to look forward and not backward. It is so important that when we go through our days, you're not going to get everything done that you want to get done sometimes. That's going to happen. You're not going to feel like you gave 100%. The fact that you have this guilt, the fact that you have this regret, this feeling of, fuck, I could have gave more. Shit, I could have done more. Fuck, I could have just one more push-up, one more fucking sit-up, one more phone call, one more effort to fix that relationship. You start to do that, that's a good thing. Just don't spend a lot of time doing it, because what are you doing if I'm spending a lot of time doing it? I'm not focusing on today, which is right in front of me. I'm still focusing on the past. And the goal is to focus on the day. The goal is to focus on today and tomorrow. But it's okay. It's healthy to have this guilt and regret of, I could have done more yesterday, because what is that going to do? That's going to push you more today. That's going to put you in the moment right now to go out and crush the fucking day, to not wait for the day to come to you, but you're going to go get the day. To not one day I'm going to be successful, but day one I'm going to be successful. So you start to put these things together. It's all about getting small wins. It's all about building momentum. It's all about not taking no for an answer. It's all about picking yourself up when things are hard. You know, when you have obstacles in front of you, when you have dilemmas and problems and issues and doubt and fear and anxiety and all the storms that come and chase you, you choose not to be a fucking cow. You choose to be a buffalo and you choose to run through it. You choose to face those fears, the anxiety, the insecurity, the frustration. You face it. You look it head on and you face it. And you say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to take this anymore. I control my own destiny. You don't. I choose what I want to be in life. You don't. I choose to put in the effort and take, you know, no for an answer. I'm just keep, if I want to take a yes for an answer and I don't want to take no, I'm able to do that and just keep pressing forward. That's the biggest key, I think, that we've got to pay attention to. We have to quit wasting our time in life with regret, with doubt, with guilt. We do it all the time. We do it all the time. My daughter's just brought up to me recently, like, Dad, you know, you're a good dad, but you could have been better. You were all about mom when we were younger. It was all about mom, and mom was all about you. And therefore, we have this complexity where we think that's what a relationship's supposed to be, and it wasn't about us kids. And, you know, I feel bad. I think they're right. Like, at first, I'm like, no, that's not true. But right, why am I going to be defensive? It's probably true. And, you know, I'm trying to do better now. I'm being part of their life in a bigger way now. I'm trying to make a difference in their life now. I'm trying to make moments and memories matter now. I'm trying to have a relationship and build it stronger now. The key is, though, it's never too late. I could sit there and cry about how good I could have been in the past. I can cry about, you know, fuck all these circumstances, the Generac issue, this issue, building a business, being overwhelmed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Or I can own it and say, you know what, I could have done better, and have some guilt, have some regret, and then fix it. Make that a lesson. You know, when we fail forward and we get lessons from our mistakes, the first thing you got to realize, hey, I made a mistake. I got to be better. I got to be stronger. You know, running a big business like I did in Power Home Solar, you know, we weren't perfect. I mean, we were damn near close. I challenge anybody. We had the best rating, the best reviews, the best service, the best product for 7+ years. And then the bottom fell out with this Generac issue. And It created animosity amongst employees who were let go because we had to lay people off. It created animosity amongst customers who were concerned and confused and didn't know what to do. And that sucks, and that's unfortunate. The issue is the things I could have done better. I could sit here and get pissed, and I'm very fucking pissed. Like, I want every customer to file a lawsuit against Generac, every customer to get on the class action lawsuit. I don't get any of that, but I want them to be made whole from those motherfuckers. That's what I'd like. More than anything, I'd like them to pay the piper for what they did to our business, our customers, our employees, and now several other customers out there with the 9 class action lawsuits. And this isn't about Generac, but I'm bringing up a point of what could I have done better? We could have not trusted them. We could have not chosen them. We could have moved on faster when they kept bullshitting and give us a new product so this works and it doesn't. And this firmware works and it doesn't. We could have made decisions quicker. You know, we entrusted them and used their products and their broken promises and their lies and their fraudulent ways. And it created a loss of business. You know, I could have got in front of this and spoke out earlier. Instead, you know, it was advised, hey, we're partners with Generac. We do business with Generac. Like, let's clean this up. We don't need to just throw shade on them and you know, share the responsibility here. Like, let's fix it. It's our customer. They'll make it right. And they never did. You know, those are the things that I have regret for, that I've learned from. You know, not pigeonholing yourself or holding yourself hostage to one manufacturer, one product company, one finance company. Like in the businesses that I'm trying to help out and be involved in now, I make sure that we have a plan B and a plan C of redundancy to not be hitched to one thing in case something happens. Because you never know. I would have never guessed this would have happened to our business ever. You know, when you're doing $600 million revenue in a year and things are just growing and customers love you and the NFL loves you and all these things are happening, you almost think you're invincible. That's another thing is I think you get comfortable and you think, hey, we can weather this. Now, I truly believed we could weather it almost till 2 weeks of us closing. Then it was suspect. That's when I was like, okay, something's up here. Like we're not going to be able to figure this out. But we actually thought the company was going to be saved up to 2 weeks till we closed. And, you know, part of my regret is like, I wish I'd been able to see things earlier. You know, the more promises they made, you know, when you trust partners, you trust business vendors and relationships and business, you got to remember that a lot of those folks aren't trustworthy. Like they're out for their own business and you got to worry about your business first. And, you know, I think that's kind of what I coach and teach. And I talk about it to people all the time that, you know, as we overcome things in our life and what I overcame, that's a big monstrous issue. And it's hard because it creates problems and it creates, you know, people losing their jobs and customers not having, you know, the product that works of decisions that wholeheartedly that I don't know if we could have changed the outcome of that. You know, we partnered with Generac and we were balls to the wall and great partners that thought things were great until it wasn't, until the product stopped working and all these customer systems were down. Like it was an issue. And the sad thing is the customer is the one who got screwed over and Pink Energy and myself are the ones that fell on the sword. When it should have been Generac just doing a national recall, they had the funds to fix everybody and they didn't. I can't sit and bitch about it all the time. Do I have regrets? Sure. I wish we could have done things a little differently. We could have maybe still been open, but we didn't. And that's why I go back to the windshield's bigger than the rearview mirror. That's why I go back to that sometimes you have this regret or this guilt of could I have done more? Could I have tried more? And the answer is I don't know in that aspect. I know I gave everything I had. My family gave everything they had. The executives gave everything they had. The directors gave everything they had to save that company, and it wasn't enough. And sometimes in life, you can give and you can do, and it's not enough. And the question is, when that happens, how do you react? When things are out of your control and it falls apart, what do you do next? That's the question. That's where you can take that guilt and that fear and that anxiety and that regret and you can bundle that shit up into energy and you can say, you know what? Not again. Let me build something and do something and I'm not going to go through that again. And it is hard. It's hard to start over. It's hard to have an enormous company that you love like a child and your employees and your customers that you love like your children. And it dies out of your control. It is hard. It's very hard. And it took me a long time to deal with it. I still sometimes grieve. Like I haven't done the full grieving yet. Like I'm, you know, I was very angry and I was very upset. And I was very like, hey, You know, how do we get these customers made right? And how do we get Generac to fix these problems for these people? There's nothing I can get fixed. Like, it's not going to fix me. So when I'm out here talking about it, it doesn't benefit me. People are like, you know, why would you talk, bring up Generac? Because it benefits the consumer. I'm out here fighting to be an advocate for them because they deserve to be made whole. You know, my company's gone. They're not going to reverse it. They're going to go back, oh, yeah, it's Generac's fault. Here's your company back. Like, that doesn't work that way. Bam, it's over with that. Like, it imploded. It imploded because of a vast major majority issue of Generac. Like, that created a monstrous wave of problems, and we couldn't recover. And it sucks because it's hurt my brand personally. It's made people look at me and my family differently. It's made people look at some of my employees that went off to try to go get jobs differently. And that's sad. How that guy, Aaron Yagfeld in Wisconsin, sleeps at night, I have no fucking idea. Because this falls on him. We had real conversations, phone call conversations, Zoom meetings, Teams meetings with him, his executive team, my executive team, me, all roundabouts, them taking blame, them understanding the impact that they've made, them going to correct it, them making broken promises that didn't happen. And he goes to sleep fine knowing thousands of customers are screwed over and thousands of employees were let go. But that's not where it ends. Now there's like 8 class action lawsuits against Generac. 5 in states we're not even in. What does that mean, Jason? That means that they fucked up. Their part was so bad that other people in other states are suing them for the same thing we sued them for. And other companies are suing them for the same thing we sued them for because they closed for the same reason. It's not coincidental. It's not coincidental. These are facts. You can Google them. Generac lawsuits for solar. Google them. You can see the list of the class action lawsuits. They're all over the place. It's very sad. Now, I go back. This show is about guilt. This show is about regret. That was like 15 months ago. I still have to live with those things. I still get people questioning, hey, weren't you guys on Pink Energy? Hey, what happened with that? Like, I still have to deal with that. You know, we had a show supposed to come out on Amazon and it's pushed back. We don't know the launch date. They want to do more episodes, but there's a lot of issues with this right now because we're trying to make the show and share a lot of the Generac problems, right? What happened with Generac, make sure these customers get things done right, making sure that, you know, that they're taken care of through the Generac lawsuits, making sure all these things that we can do and be an advocate and a voice in that show as part of the deal. And it's just been hard, you know, legal looking at things and it creates an issue, right? So, you know, with that said, we want to make sure that, you know, the message that I can try to portray to people when it comes to regret, when it comes to feeling guilty, is that you can only do what you can only do. And if you don't like the results, change what you're doing. But you got to stay focused. You got to stay believing in yourself. You got to stay hungry. You got to make sure that no matter what, you don't get stagnant. No matter what, you stay humble. Like, look, I mean, some of my problems in the past, I was not humble. I was flashy and excited, and that wasn't a good thing. That was not a good thing for me. And so, you know, I'm more humble now of like, hey, I've been there before. I've had a lot of success, building new success. I get it. You know, you live, you learn, and you grow. But you can't stay in those moments. Maybe you're in a relationship and you're like, oh, I feel like I need this person. I feel like I need to be with somebody. I feel like I need to have somebody in my life. I need to have a boyfriend or a husband. I need to have a girlfriend or a wife. It's a really good spot in your life when you want something, you don't need something. It's a different feeling to want something and not need it compared to needing it and not wanting it. When you need something, you're usually insecure. You feel less than, and you need something to fill a void. You're trying to fix something, and you need something. Not a good feeling. When you want something, you have everything under control. You're in a good spot. I want to date. I told my girls, you know, they've had some bumps in their relationships. I said, if I were you, ladies, I would work on myself for the next year. Mentally, emotionally, physically, financially. Mentally, emotionally, physically, financially. And I would make the best version of myself in 1 year from now and open the selection up of boys and men. And rather than fish in a small-ass pond, fucking dude, the waters are open, right? Your selection, your what you tolerate in life, your, you know, do you settle or don't you settle? You know, where are you going to be with who you want to be with? Like, don't you want more choice and options and opportunity and to be able to not lower your standards because you feel like you need somebody? When your standards are higher, you usually want something. You don't need something. When you need something, you lower your standards to settle. So I tell my girls, like, listen, now is the time to focus on you. Now's the time. And I tell anybody out there listening right now, if you're in a tough relationship and you're getting out of it and you feel like you're only with them because you need them, get out of it. You got to want them, because wanting something feels pure. I want my wife. I don't need my wife. There were times in life I felt like I needed her, and that was insecure, and I felt like I was settling. I tolerated shit. We've gone through hell and back, valleys and mountains, and come back out. And I said, look, I'm at a place where I want her. That's a different feeling. I want to be with my wife. I don't need to be. I want to be. If I don't want to be, I could leave. If she didn't want to be, she could leave. And that is a powerful feeling to know that you want something, you don't need something, because it doesn't consume or control you. It's the same in business. I want to be successful. I don't need to be successful. I want to grow these businesses. I don't need to grow these businesses. I want to have a top five podcast. I don't need to have a top five podcast. It allows me to not act in emotion, but I act in factual facts and information. I'm able to make decisions when I'm really at a good spot in life and I'm not emotionally drastically making decisions. I'm making decisions with information that I have, with a really good mind and soul and thought process behind it, because I want something. I don't need something. So you didn't practice in your life, like, do I want this or do I need this? And if I need this, then that's the wrong thing. You need to fix the problem, because you shouldn't fucking need anything. I mean, you need water, you need a roof over your head, and you need food, and that's it. You don't even need love. You want love. Because when you need love, you're accepting love from people you don't need to accept love from. You don't need a relationship. You need to want a relationship. Because if you need a relationship, again, your tolerance is lower and you're accepting bullshit you don't need. Those are the three things that you should need. Air, water, food. That's it. Everything else should be a want. I want a really good job. No, I need a good job. If you need something, you're going to settle. I want now. Your standards are higher and you get to pick. So it's all about growing that mind. It's all about controlling your confidence and your mindset to be able to make those decisions, to go from need to want. Think about it in life. Like, I want to have a nice body. I don't need to. Now, Jason, you probably do need to if you want to live a long time. Well, maybe that's true, but I will tell you this. If I needed to, I might do desperate shit like surgeries and shots in the belly and all this. And I'm not knocking those that do it, but then I'm compromising other parts of my body to do it. And I've thought about it, like, damn, I'd really like to try to have a six pack. I haven't had a six pack 20 years. That'd be solid. But if I want to have a great body, then that's fine. I can control if and when I want to work at it. Right. And I want to work at it. I go to the gym, and then it's how much do I want it? Right. Because I'm the type of guy that fucking shits the bed. Like, I'll go all day and eat. Well, I brought blueberries and some chimichurri steak and a yogurt for lunch. But then I'll probably go home like an asshole and order an ice cream. Problem is, as I go to the gym and I diet most of the days, and then I throw it all away with bad decisions. Any of you guys do that? I do that all the time. So there's a good and a bad to it. So the good to it is I'm not going backwards. I'm not sitting around getting fucking fatter. But the bad is I'm not getting where I want to be. Notice I said that? Where I want to be. Not where I need to be. Where I want to be. And I want to be in better shape. So I have to challenge myself. Like, damn, dude. And my old trainer said all the time, like, why are you, like, putting all this work? You're only getting change. You ain't even bringing all the money home. Like, what are you doing? Like, as much as I go to the gym, I should be fucking rocking. But I eat bad. I have to want it more. Sometimes you got to prioritize your wants, right? My want of a good body is down here, where my want to be successful and all these other things are higher priority than that. My want to be a great husband and a great father all here, you know, but I got to get this hired. I got to pay more attention to it. And I know you guys all have things in your life that you're like that with. But I go back to the pondering of want and need. I need this job. Why do you need that job? Sounds like you don't like it. You need the job, but you don't like it. Why the fuck are you going to it? You don't need that job. There's thousands of other fucking jobs out there. Why don't you get a job you want? So maybe you're a little happier, not a fucking asshole every day. Ding, ding, ding. What about this? I need to be with somebody. I can't be alone. Really? Do you need to be with somebody? You know, being alone and doing things for yourself can create great endorphins, great serotonin. Like, you can get to a happy spot and love yourself enough that your selective choice here of standards will go higher because now you want something, you don't need something. Not, I need to be in a relationship. It's like, I want to find a good person to be with. I'm good with myself. If I don't find it, it's fine, but I want to find them. You know, when you try hard, I always tell my kids, like, good things happen to those that wait, but it's when you're not looking for something, something hits you in the face. And for those out there looking for a better half or a spouse, quit looking so hard and let it hit you into space. Let it just pop. Just boom, there it is. Oh my gosh. There's somebody that's really special to me, right? But when you look, you're looking out of need and your standards go down. It just goes down. I joke with those guys that go out late at night. It's like you're at the bar. It's 9 o'clock. Like, I want to find a hot chick here at the bar. That's what I want to do. Talking about the single guys out there. I want to find a hot chick. Then it hits 10, 11, 12. They're like, yeah, I really want to find a chick. Hot just came out of it. Then it hits like 1 or 2 in the morning. Like, I really need a chick. Right? Their standards start to lower in desperation. Ladies, you're just as guilty of that shit. I know you guys do that shit at the club too. You're like, I want to find a good man. I just want to find a man. I need a man. Like, dude, it's natural that when you feel like you need something, your standards drop. When you want something, your standards are higher. So you got to change that mindset again in life from need to want. I want to have this job, not I need it. I want to be in this relationship, not I need to. You know, you feel like I need to be here because I have kids. No, the fuck you don't. There's a lot of people have kids that they're not together. You mean you need to be a good fucking parent. You shouldn't want to be a good parent. You should just fucking need to be a good parent. Those are facts. That's probably another need you got to throw in there. You got to be a good parent. But you don't have to be in a relationship. I mean, I used to have a barber tell me all the time, 2 happy homes is better than 1 unhappy home. We said it again, 2 happy homes is better than 1 unhappy home. So everyone has this fear of, I need to stay with my wife or I need to stay with my husband because my kids and I don't want my kids to see a divorce. Do you want them to see bullshit love? Do you want to see them you arguing? Do you want to see them mom unhappy? Do you want to see them dad unhappy? Do you want to see like that? Think about that. And look, I'm one that's had all kinds of shit in my marriage, up and down, left and right, circle, circle, up and down. Like, we've been through it all. We've been fucking kids, raising kids. Been together a long time. So I can comment on all over the roller coaster. And I can tell you, it's a way better, more confident place to be like, I want to be with my wife. And my wife said something recently. She's like, you know, she saw something on TikTok or heard on a show that if somebody could take, you know, this lady said, if she can take him, she can have him, which is facts. You got to build trust up. If somebody can take your man or someone can take your lady, they ain't yours to begin with. Who gives a shit? So you got to be able to get rid of that fear, that insecurity of controlling and what are you doing? And do you want to be with me? Like, dude, like you, it feels real good to be really confident and want in life, not need, and be like, you know, because I love my wife dearly and I don't ever want to lose her. But let me tell you something. She told me she'd leave me tomorrow. I'd fucking survive. It would suck, but I would survive, as would she. And that's a better feeling than going, I would absolutely fucking die. You can't be in that position because then your tolerance is way higher than it needs to be in bullshit. And your standards are way lower than it needs to be in bullshit. And that's the same thing with work. It's the same thing with business. Think about it. You're at a job and it's like, I really need this job. So you tolerate so much more bullshit and you fucking, your standard on this job is bullshit. But if you're like, I really want this job. Well, then now your tolerance is normal and your standards are normal. You can apply it to a friendship. You know, I say this all the time, like, I don't have a lot of friends. I have a couple friends. And my wife, she ain't got a lot of friends. Some of it's our fault. Some of it's not our fault. Goes both ways. I will say that you find out when things are hard who your real friends are and what their priorities are. I will say that. and I've lost a lot of good friends that I thought were good friends. On the other token, miscommunication also leads to fallout of people and their pride, women in particular, that like to get stuck in their pride and, well, this person did this, well, this person did this, and relationships come and go because of it. And I'm one that always says, look, in a relationship, if somebody's giving and somebody else is taking, and there's no giving and taking on the other side, it's not a good relationship. There's got to be giving and taking for both people. There's got to be, I bring something to the table and you bring something to the table. Not, I just keep bringing it and you keep taking it, or vice versa. And that's kind of how it is when you get older and you're married and you have relationships with people. You know, as a couple, you don't want to chase or friend. You don't want to chase a friend all the time. Hey, you want to do this with me? Hey, you want to do this with me? Hey, let's get together. Hey, let's get together. And you feel like you're neglected and that person doesn't want to hang out with you. That hurts your feelings. I'm sure that sucks. On the other token, you don't want to just always do things for people and then they never want to do anything for you. And so it's tough, and communication is key. And I've seen truly through this process who my real friends are and who they aren't. And look, I forgive everyone and I hope they all forgive me. But I don't fucking forget. You know what I mean? Because I want to be back on top. And when I get to the top, I won't forget of those who turned their back on me or weren't there for me. I just won't. I'm not bitter and I don't hold a grudge and I don't allow them to rent space in my brain. But I just won't forget. I won't be used in the future, because a lot of people use people and you think they're your friends and they use you. They use you for your success, or they use you for their opportunity, or they use you to do things that you do that are fun, like go on trips or go to like whatever it is, or they use you for status. And then when it's inconvenient, they're just not there. And it's unfortunate, but that's how it is. I tell my kids, I was like, you guys think it's hard as kids. It's hard as adults to have friends too. People are mean. You know, people are just mean. I'm known as like a very aggressive, confrontational person. And really, I think I'm not that way anymore. I think I've calmed down a lot to where I just don't have any fucks to give. Like, I'm not going to get angry. I'm just like, all right, that person's done to me. Like, I'm not going to scream and yell. I'm just not going to rent them space in my brain and give a fuck anymore. You know, I've kind of outgrown the anger point to where it's just like, I'm just done. I mean, do I have, we talked about, you know, they started the show with regret and or guilt. And, you know, there's regret and guilt in some of the relationships that I've lost over the years where I think I could have been a better person or treated people better. In some instances, I take some ownership there. I know that when you're friends with me, actually, when you're friends with anyone in my family, because we all are the same way, it's like we're in a battleship together. Let me say this. It's like if we're friends, my family, my friends, we're all together. My kids are the same way. My wife's the same way. We're in this battleship together. And we either fucking win together or we sink together. There is no way off the fucking battleship. We're in it together. I've got your back. You've got mine. The problem is what I've noticed is some people aren't really like that. They pretend to be that way. They pretend to have your back. And then when things are tough or you need something, something's going on, or, you know, you just need to check in, what, they're nowhere to be around because you don't offer the same things you used to offer, because you're not on TV anymore, because you don't live in a huge mansion anymore, because you don't fly private. All these things are, you know, it's just, it happens. It's fucked up, but it's true. It's how people are. And you've got to ask yourself, like, you've got to be able to sift through this minutia bullshit to say, okay, these people are truly my friends or they're not. And I go back to, you shouldn't need a friend. You should want a friend. And then your tolerance is at a normal level and your standards are at a normal level. They're not changed by the need word. The word need is a bad word. You don't want to be needy. You just don't. It's not good. It changes all the chemical balance that you have to control your life. When you need something, everything's messed up. It fucks with everything. So quit. That was a quick podcast. I want to touch base about that today. So make sure you go out, you subscribe to all the platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Check us out. Bam.